The book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua, chapter 14. We'll read verses 6 through 14. We'll have these words for you on the PowerPoint on the overhead as well for you to read along with us. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, He's kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, gave him Hebronus, his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. The book of Joshua is often referred to as a book of battles. The background to this story today is that the children of Israel had left Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They crossed over into the Sinai, into Kadesh Barnea. 3 years now had passed since they left Egypt. They're right on the edge of the Promised Land. So they send out 12 spies to spy out the land. The Bible says that those spies were there spying everything out for 40 days. As you know in this story, 11 of the 12 spies came back and they said, "Oh my goodness, there's fortified cities there. There's giants there. We look like grasshoppers next to those folks." Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. You may remember the Bible says they brought back a massive bunch of grapes and pomegranates and figs and as evidence of all the abundance of the land. But they're saying, there's no way we can come into this land because of the fortified cities and the armies and the people and the giants. There's no way. But Caleb spoke up and he said, "God is on our side. And we're ready to do this because God is with us." The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1 that all the people begin to murmur and rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses. They said things like, "Well, He's brought us out of Egypt to die here in the desert, to die here as we go against battle. This is terrible. We might as well just go back to Egypt and die." And they rebelled. They had no faith. They were bitter. They spoke against God and they spoke against Moses. And then God took action. God determined that anyone age 20 or older that had grumbled and had a bitter heart and said all these things except Joshua and Caleb, that all the rest, 20 and older, would die in the desert, that they would never see the Promised Land. And so for 40 years, they would be shepherds in the desert. For it was 1 year for each day they had explored the land that God had promised to them. So all those folks died. They all died. Now fast forward 45 years later, and Joshua and Caleb are ready to go forward again. And those words of Caleb that we read in chapter 14 and verse 12 when he said, "Give me this mountain. I'm ready." 45 years and he's still counting on the promises of God.
Hallelujah.
What motivated him? What motivated him? What was behind his incredible faith for what was an impossible task? What motivated him to press on to higher ground, to press on trusting God against the giants and the fortified cities with armies? What caused him to say against impossible odds, I am ready for victory?
Hallelujah.
I will tell you that first of all, the first point of the sermon today, number one, Caleb remembered God's promise to Israel. As you see in Exodus 13:5, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into this land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give to you, a land flowing with milk and honey. That promise in Exodus was the promise of God when God spoke to Moses and told Moses, you remember the promise I gave to Abraham? I'm giving it to you right now. It's still in play. It's still a promise. I'm going to take you there now to the promised land. And surely Moses shared that with everyone else. This is the promise of God. We're about to receive it. We're leaving Egypt. We're going to that place that he promised to Abraham. I'm certain that Caleb remembered that promise. Those kinds of promises, they might not have been in writing, and maybe not everybody could read and write, but there was a history of oral tradition and handing down father to son, to grandson, to great-grandson. Surely Caleb had heard that promise that had first been given to Abram. That's recorded in Genesis chapter 15, where the word says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kedemites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Their land was going to be your land. That promise was made by God to Abraham because Abraham was having a hard time. He was questioning God, are you really going to take me to a promised land? And as he questions God, he says, how shall I know that I'm going to inherit it? And so God caused Abraham to fall into a deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, God spoke to him. He spoke to Abraham and he spoke to him prophetically. He told Abraham, he said, your descendants are going to have a time in Egypt for many years as slaves. But eventually, they're going to return to the land known as Canaan to be their land forever. It was going to be their homeland. What a great promise. See, it was this promise that Caleb remembered and he held on to as he spied out the land that day. And all the other 11 guys came back. See, the 11 guys came back. The issue was that they were problem conscious rather than promise conscious. They forgot the problem. All they could see was the problem. Caleb looked beyond the problems. He looked beyond the giants and the fortified cities and the great armies. And what he saw was the promise of God and a land flowing with milk and honey. By the way, that promise is still true today. The land that is Israel goes from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. It includes Golan Heights. It includes the West Bank. It is all Israel. It is what God promised to His people, despite all the political correctness that we see in the news. With the heart of faith that Caleb had, it was that heart of faith that 40 years ago that caused him to say, I'm ready. It was that same heart where he says, let us go at once and take possession, for we're able to overcome it. It was the heart in him that said these words, they are our bread. Their protection has departed them, and the Lord is with us. We do not fear him. That same promise, that same heart was in him, and he's ready 45 years later to say, okay, God, now it's time, and I'm ready. Again, Caleb was promise conscious, not problem conscious. He kept his eye on the promise. Not only was he promise conscious, he was power conscious. Hear me today. Only a man full of the understanding of and the faith in God's promise can know that when you hold on to the promise, you're holding on to the power behind it. That is the power of God who said, this is what's going to happen. This is my promise to you. He was power conscious as well as promise conscious. How could he have not been full of an understanding of God's power for a man that says, give me this mountain. I'm ready to take it. So I ask you this morning, has God made you a promise? Have you been in that moment in your prayer closet where you're crying and you're praying and the Holy Spirit is touching you and speaking to your heart, and God speaks to your spirit, spirit upon spirit, and He makes a promise, and you hear it, and you know it's from God, and His Holy Spirit seals it in your spirit, and you know God has spoken to you? Has He promised you the salvation of your loved ones? Has He promised you the salvation of your sons and daughters and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers? Has He promised that to you? Has He promised His strength and His power in the storms of life? Has He promised those promises to you? God's promises are incredible. In Mark 13 and 31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Romans 5 and 1, we have peace with God through our Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. Proverbs 3 and 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Psalm 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and He delights in His ways. Those last two verses remind us that God orders our steps. If we trust Him, if we follow Him, He delights. He delights in ordering and directing our steps. Are you trusting Him to do that today? How about Philippians 4 and 3? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How about those promises for our children? Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child the way it should go. When he is old, he will not depart from him. That verse in 2 Timothy 2 and 4, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen to that word for a minute. It's the will of God that everyone would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now the problem is that's God's will, but He gives man the free will to choose, doesn't he? But what does it say the will of God is? The will of God is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If we know that's the will of God, then listen to this next verse in 1 John 5 and 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. Let me tell you, when you're praying for your lost sons and daughters and grandchildren and family members and friends, you're praying according to the will of God. And when you pray according to the will of God, you can stand on that promise that says He hears us and He answers that prayer. You know He does. He begins to set in motion the power of His Holy Spirit in events and circumstances that'll cause that person one more time to say, I might need Jesus in my life. I might need to rethink this and accept Christ as my Lord and my Savior and give my heart and my love to Him by that powerful work of God, because we kept praying and we stood on that promise. Can you imagine how excited Caleb was as they crossed over that Jordan River? Oh, can you imagine how excited he was when the walls of Jericho tumbled down and he said, oh yes, Lord, You're with us. I can just see him now going to his old friend Joshua and just reminded him and saying, Joshua, remember, this is the promise that God gave to Abraham. This is the promise that God gave to Moses. Now we're receiving it. We're the recipients of it right here and right now. Caleb remembered God's promises. And he also remembered, which is our second point today, he remembered his wholehearted commitment. Have you made a wholehearted commitment to God? Have you made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus? In Deuteronomy 1 and 6, speaking of Caleb, it says, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Numbers 14 and 24, Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. Numbers 32 and 12, no one except Caleb and Joshua, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Joshua 14 and 8, but my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Joshua 14 and 14, because he followed the Lord God wholeheartedly. There were five different times in five different verses where the expression wholeheartedly is used to describe the faith and the heart and how Caleb followed the Lord. There was nothing lukewarm. There was nothing tentative about him. There was no compromise. There was no negotiating with God. There was no half-heartedness. There was no going through the motions. He followed the Lord God wholeheartedly. We need that spirit in us. We need a wholehearted spirit that cries out, this is God, I need you, I trust in you, I follow after you with all my heart. We need that spirit in our churches today. Our culture and our churches, it would seem they're not quite sure anymore if the promises of God are for us today. They're not sure if the promises of God are permanent and unbending. That you would think they're uncertain about all of this. We profess that we serve Christ. We profess that we believe in the Scriptures, what they say. Yet so often so many Christians begin waffling and begin to ask themselves, well, was that really meant for me? Was that really the Holy Spirit I heard speaking to my heart? Maybe there's an alternative explanation. Maybe I didn't really hear God right. Or maybe God didn't intend that verse to be taken at its face value. And they start going all down those little maybe roads. Caleb took the promise of God personally, and he took it with tenacity. He took a hold of it with all the tenacity and commitment and wholeheartedness that was in him. And he said, God, I believe it. I'm holding on to it. That is my trust. He firmly believed his God. And he would not let go of the promise that God had given him. It takes us to the third point today. Will we take God at his word? Will we take God at what he has said to us? God wants us to say, just like with Caleb, my life will be shaped. My life will be shaped by God's promise and plan. It will not be shaped by my own opinions, my own rationalizations, nor will it be shaped by my fears and doubts and uncertainty. My life will be shaped by God's promise. So we ask the question, do we really believe what God says? Do we really believe the promises in this book? Do we really believe what the Holy Spirit has implanted in our hearts? Can we wholeheartedly hold on to and embrace and trust and count on what God has promised to us? Can we do that? We say it's impossible, but God says the things which are impossible with men are possible with God in Luke 18 and 27. Yes. We say, I'm just too tired. But the Lord says to us, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We say, but nobody really loves me. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We say, but I'm just not able. And the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. That's in 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Listen, God has given us all sufficiency and abundance for every good work. How can we say, I'm not able, when we have that promise? Sometimes folks will say, well, I just can't do it. But the Apostle Paul reminds us when he wrote, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And folks will say, well, I'm just so afraid. But the Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I receive that today. We say, well, I'm worried and I'm frustrated. And the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and 7. Look at this next point up here on the PowerPoint. We cannot fall into the trap of thinking that just because God said it or promised, it's supposed to be easy. Hear me today. We can't fall into that trap of thinking just because God said it, because he promised it, that it's supposed to be easy. It may take tenacity. It may take more trust, more praying, more faith, more interceding than we ever imagined or thought. But we must not give up. We must have that tenacity. It takes us to the fourth point today. Willing to wait. Willing to wait. Ooh, I got to wait. Willing to wait. Caleb waited, didn't he? He waited 45 years. He never got despondent. He never gave up. He never grew cynical. He never got bitter. He never lost sight of what God had promised him. I'll tell you, those who wait for God's promise to be fulfilled will find that their day will come. Amen. It will. Amen. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. This expression, I put my whole being in this form of waiting. All of me is waiting. Yet sometimes, I know this is how I feel. I don't know if many of you feel this way when you're waiting. It's like you're waiting on the sunrise that never seems to come. You just keep waiting. But I tell you this, God's timing is sure. And he will not disappoint you if you wait on the Lord. Isaiah 30 and 18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. I love that. Hear this. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Blessed are all who wait for him. Hallelujah. Caleb waited. He didn't fall into that sentiment that we've often heard today. You know, well, I'm kind of been waiting a long time. I've been doing this for all these years. I'm getting pretty tired, and I think it's time for somebody else to take over. I think it's time for somebody else to pray about this or do this or whatever. Not Caleb. He was ready, wasn't he? He wasn't depending on anything or anybody else but God's promise, and his heart was wholly focused on that promise. Caleb had what God described as a different spirit. Oh God, give us a different spirit. Amen. Oh God, give us a different spirit. Following God wholeheartedly requires us to not just do it for a day or two or a week or a month. It's for the long haul, isn't it? It's to be totally have a heart and a mind and a spirit that is totally dependent on Him, on His Word, and on His promises. We get our eyes off the problem. We keep our eyes on the promise. We get our eyes off the situation. We keep our eyes and our heart on the power of God and His promise to do that thing that seems so impossible. And so we grab tightly to that promise and we hold on. We grip it, refusing to let go, refusing to let God slip out of our hands and our hearts. That requires that tenacity I've spoken of. The commitment, the willing to fight the battle. Are you willing today? We commit ourselves and we act on that promise, whether it's tomorrow or 45 years from tomorrow. You have to have that kind of heart. Patrick Hamilton was the first martyr of the Protestant Reformation. He was from Scotland. He was burned at the stake in 1528 in St. Andrews, Scotland. He was only 25 years old. He was from a wealthy family. He had gone to study in Paris, and while he was in Paris, he encountered a young man by the name of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther began to share with him this idea that faith comes to us by the work of grace, and that our relationship with Jesus Christ is not just following a bunch of rules, but it is by faith in the grace that comes through the work of Jesus on the cross. Yes. Well, it changed his whole life. Patrick Hamilton then became a minister of the gospel. He began to travel sharing this new ideal that our salvation is through faith by the work of grace in Christ Jesus. He went back to his homeland in Scotland. But the archbishop of the church chased him away to Germany. But he couldn't stay away. He couldn't stop being obedient to what God had asked Patrick Hamilton to do. And that was to share that wonderful good news of faith with his fellow men and women in Scotland. He came back to Scotland despite all the warnings. He came back and continued to preach Jesus Christ in faith through grace. He was quickly captured. He was put on trial and he was executed by burning him at the stake. Can you imagine being tied? Can you imagine with all the wood and the debris at your feet? And they light that and it begins to burn. Can you imagine standing there being tied up to that stake and the fire begins to burn your feet and your legs and the smoke is filling your nostrils and you're still alive in the torturous pain you endure until you breathe your last breath? But that's what Patrick Hamilton did, because he loved Jesus and he was obedient. He knew that relying on God mattered more than anything else, and he was willing to pay with his life because he had a wholehearted conviction. Well, the leaders in that community expected after he died that that'd be the end of it. But it was just the beginning. You see, his death caused everyone to pause and to say, how could anybody do that unless it was real? There was something to what this man was saying. And there's an old saying regarding this incident that's recorded, and it says, the reek of smoke of Patrick Hamilton has influenced as many as it did blow upon. The smoke of his burning bodies, it filled that village, became a reminder of a man that wholeheartedly preached salvation through grace by faith. And it's wholehearted believers like Patrick Hamilton that make an impact on those around them. Are you hearing me today? We make an impact on those around us when we follow God wholeheartedly. It reminds us of the truth of God, and its power cannot be dismissed. The truth and the promises and the power of the gospel cannot be dismissed. So I conclude today by asking this question. Are you ready for your mountain? Are you ready for your mountain? Are you ready to receive God's promise? Are you ready to receive God's best? Are you ready to move to that higher ground? Are you ready for that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit flowing into you? Are you ready to see God's hand in the lives of those that you're praying for? Are you ready to see the miracles of salvation and healing in the lives that you're interceding for? Whatever you face today, look at this next slide, whatever you face today, take control of the territory. Don't give Satan an inch. Take control of the territory by grasping and gripping the promise that God has given you. Don't take one step back. Claim it in the name of Jesus. Have a heart of tenacity. Have a fearless spirit that says, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep believing. I'm not giving in to Satan. I don't care what I see. I don't care how much worse it gets. I'm controlling this territory in the name of Jesus. Prove with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I want to conclude today with this prayer that you'll see on the next slide. This prayer, give me a strong heart. Stand with me this morning. Would you just stand up? I want us to say this prayer together. I want you to say it with me. And I want you to mean it as you say it. Say these words. Dear Father, give me a strong heart that will not wither away in puny faith, but may each delay, each disappointment, each closed door be a signal to hold on more tightly, to pray more frequently, to trust more completely, confident that when the answer comes, it will be right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Amen. I want to remind you, as a believer, the Word of God tells us that we have an authority. It's not in us, but it's in Christ Jesus. Say these words with me. I have authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Amen to that word today. Hallelujah. Father, we have that authority in the name of Jesus. We receive, God, your promises. By your power, by your promise, stir us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This morning I prayed for this service, and I wrestled with how to end this service. But I'm going to tell you today, I believe so wholeheartedly that the Holy Spirit wants me to say to some of you here today, it's time for you to make a wholehearted commitment to that thing that God has placed on your heart. It's time for you to make a fresh wholehearted commitment to that thing you're praying for, to that objective, to that cause, to that purpose. It's time for you to step out, and one more time, by just stepping out as a step of faith to say, God, I'm going to keep trusting, I'm going to keep believing, I'm going to keep praying. And I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh infilling. I need a fresh flow of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my life. If that is your heart's cry, I ask you today to just step out and come forward and stand here and make a fresh, wholehearted, new commitment to that thing that you're believing and trusting and asking God for. Make a fresh, wholehearted commitment to say, I'm holding on to this promise. I'm not letting go of it. I know God's behind this. I know God has spoken to my heart. And I'm standing out here today to say, I'm going to receive it. I'm going to wait for God. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop asking. I will stand here wholeheartedly. I'm not giving up this territory. I'm holding on and I'm believing God. If that's your heart's cry, come and just put your hands up and make a fresh, whole, wonderful, and complete expression to God. Father, we stand in your name. We stand in your power. We receive this today in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. God, give a fresh power in this place today. By the Holy Spirit, give a fresh anointing. God, give us a new tenacity. God, give us a new approach that says, I'm trusting in You. I'm believing in You. I'm counting on You. I stand on that promise. In Jesus' name, Father, move and touch here today. God, give a fresh new sense of commitment. Give a new sense, God, of a determination. God, give us a determination by the power of the Holy Spirit that says, I don't care what I see. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how dark it may seem. But I know I have this promise, and I'm trusting in God, and I'm believing in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Sunday la mojo sate. Ila mosura telemosi. Ula masunde alamosi. Oh, so cool at Amasai. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Brother Shaw, would you back up? Would you back up that screen to that screen that was right before this one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Look with me one last time again at this prayer. Look at these words with me. Let us one more time speak the words that we see on this screen. We have them here for you. Dear Father, give me a strong heart that will not wither away in puny faith, but may each delay, each disappointment, each closed door be a signal to hold on more tightly, to pray more frequently, to trust more completely, confident that when the answer comes, it will be right. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. God is looking down today and He's saying, can you have a different spirit? Can you be like Caleb? Can you look at it and not be problem conscious, but look at whatever you see and be promise conscious and be power conscious, conscious of the power of a God that's willing and able to do abundantly more than we could ever think to ask for. He wants to do that in our lives today. Amen. 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 Praise God. This may be Labor Day weekend, but today is not about labor. It's about the promise and the commitment and wholeheartedly following after God. Amen. I thank God for today. I thank You for being with us today. Go with God. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't give up the territory. Continue to hold on and believe God. Amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.